Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday, and with me, as always, that's my co-host, Nick Mason.
Great to be here.
Thank you. I just opened two drinks.
No, I opened the second
That's drink. My new thing. I'm opening two drinks now.
All right, wow. All right, good luck going broke on that.
I'll never go broke. Do you know why? Because I'm really confident.
Mason. You sipped like a man who is not confident.
It's not about...
He's covering up all his many insecurities.
It's not about how I sip. It's about being like confident. Yeah. Mason, we've got a big show this week,
Big show.
No, no, no.
And if you're out here and you're like, looking forward to you guys talking about The Crow, we didn't watch The Crow.
We couldn't. It was at screenings at weird times and we just couldn't do it.
Which shows, I think, the faith that the studio has in the movie The Crow.
Yeah.
If you've watched The Crow in anticipation of us talking about The Crow, sorry, we might talk about it next week.
We most likely will.
So it's got a wide release in other places, but in Australia... Only advanced screenings at weird times.
There was one on Friday. I was busy, Mason.
It was like a 9:30 a.m. I'm not getting up for that.
No, that's crazy. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Anyway, but for people wondering, reviews are not good.
No.
But I'm also wondering if that's because it's a movie that's okay to kick. Something like it's got
here we go.
Here's the thing. It's got 6% currently at Rotten Tomatoes or something like that. But that means six people were like, I like this more than I don't like it.
I mean, it's six people if 100 people reviewed it, Mason.
That's true,
Do you not know how percentages are?
Yeah, there's six. There's 100 reviewers.
Yeah.
There's 100 Rotten Tomatoes reviewers.
What happens if one
dies?
And
they're all the enemy.
What happens if one dies?
You got it. There's a contest of champions.
Oh.
And whoever becomes the biggest champion gets to be there.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's right.
I'd love to be a big champion. Mm.
They have to be put in stocks and Rotten Tomatoes are thrown at them. Hence the name of the thing.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
You know what else makes sense? We watched the movie Blink Twice instead.
That's right, we did.
Which was available to watch, which we will talk about in non-spoilers and then spoilers. But of course, there's news on the lead up. The Acolyte has been cancelled.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We're going to get into that. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about trailers for both The Lord of the Rings, The War of Rohim, and Megalopolis. And boy, isn't there some controversy there?
There sure is. Have they manufactured the controversy or was it some dumbass?
Oh, new Anaconda movie, Mason?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
James Bader's back as Ultron, maybe?
Ooh.
Why Robert Downey Jr. decided to return to Iron Man.
Is it the money?
Okay. But other things?
Sure.
We've got two pieces of Martian Manhunter news.
Oh, two pieces.
That's right.
That's low for this podcast.
I agree. And Michael Keaton was asked about Batgirl and what he thought about it being cancelled. And let me tell you,
He's indifferent. He's largely indifferent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's pretty fun to talk about.
Oh, should we also talk about, speaking of Rotten Tomatoes, that Rotten Tomatoes have now instituted a hot popcorn meter or something?
Oh, yeah, we should talk about that.
Hot popcorn? This movie's certified hot popcorn.
There's time codes below if you do want to whatever. I'm editing the one this week, so if you're like, the editing's bad this week, it's because of me. Collings is not available. He's in the gym all weekend.
Wow.
He wanted to get swole for Monday.
Yeah, so why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, he gets swole for the whole year.
Yeah.
He's that efficient. A lot of people are like, God, I've got to go to the gym 3 days a week. Oh,
no.
I've got to get swole. He's like one day a
get
year.
Get it done.
And then he gets it done. You know what I mean? It's insane.
Before we talk about that Rotten Tomatoes thing, though, thank you to everybody who came to the Live Confessions show on Friday. It was a lot of fun.
With
Sam Peterson, Celia Bacola, and Georgia Love. Everybody who came up and said hi. And then maybe who didn't hi. Maybe you were just there and you saw me. Thank you so much for coming out. I really appreciate it. That was cool. There's still tickets to some things, I think, available for the shows that I'm doing in the UK with Sans Pants. It's on the website. It's linked below. You'll figure it out. Also, we're doing
some people won't figure it out.
No, you won't. Well, then you can't come.
Yeah, that's right.
The other thing is we're doing expressions of interest on a particular t-shirt, a tour t-shirt, to see how many to get printed. I don't know if you've seen this, but the guy who did it, what the hell's
his name? His name is James Fosdyke.
James Fosdyke, yeah. It's a parody, Mason.
I love that.
Of the original Spider-Man.
Amazing Fantasy 15.
Yeah, that's linked below if you do want to check that
out.
That's
pretty cool. That's very cool.
Cool. All right, Mason, let's do Rotten Tomatoes, whatever.
Do you have the link there? Because I don't.
Nah.
Let's figure it out.
Well, you said it.
I did, but then I'm like, you know what? I'll just look it up on X the Everything app while I do my banking on X the Everything app, and it'll be easy to find. But guess what? The search function's broken on that piece of
No, you're just
website.
Using it wrong. You're not using it confidently enough.
What do you think is more likely, that I'm using it wrong or that it's a piece of crap website?
It's both.
It is both. But basically, Rotten Tomatoes, in addition to having, you know, a critic's a percentage of reviews,
and
whether
also
it's fresh or rotten,
and also an audience score.
That's right. They're now going now audiences, and I think you have to purchase your tickets through a certain website.
Yes, it's like a Fandango.
And if you're a verified purchaser of a movie ticket through this service, you were then allowed to click through and say if this movie is hot popcorn or not popcorn.
That's right. And now it's going to be verified hot. hot or stale.
Uh-oh.
So no, like, bad? Or no, like, in between, I should say?
Stale is bad, right?
Yeah, but what's worse than... Like, because verified hot and then there's hot and stale.
Yeah, but see, that's exactly it.
Do you see what I'm saying?
No, but what they've done here, this is quite canny because these are the only three states.
That's what I'm talking about.
That the public want. Because this clearly is a measure
for
the audiences to go to. So it's like a safe avenue to review bomb.
Yes.
You see what I mean? It's like you can either make a movie stale, like get a big fan campaign and a non-fan campaign going to say this thing's stale, or if you want to make Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon or whatever.
Yeah, I do.
Verified hot popcorn. Yeah. You can do that.
Hot popcorn, I guess. Yeah. I mean, how does that work for streaming?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess you just harass them until they go, fine, we'll just say...
It's good, all right.
We'll just say Rebel Moon is hot popcorn for you. God, this popcorn's too hot to touch, you
could say.
Completely
agree, yeah. You know? Anyway, it doesn't ultimately mean anything.
No, I mean, I don't really pay attention to that. The only time I ever go to Rotten Tomatoes is if there is some sort of controversy about Rotten Tomatoes reviews or I want to read something particularly scathing because I know it's there or something like that, you know?
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. I don't know what this is. But do you think that it is a mechanism for people to go, well, we all want to get together and say this movie's hot.
I think...
We want to push back against reviewers.
I think they're looking for a way to, like, make more money, obviously, through, like, the ticketing services.
Oh,
and
then you
use them exclusively. So you're not taking advantage, but you're funneling people who are inclined to review things and have strong opinions to buy through a particular service, even if you don't even see the movie because you want your opinion to be known. Mm-hmm. But I would say just don't do it. Who cares, right?
Yeah. Like, there should be an additional one. And it's just, I heard it's bad or I heard it's good. It's, you don't have to buy a ticket. This is the...
A mate of my brother's saw it.
Yeah, this is like free with ads.
Yeah.
It's Rotten Tomatoes equivalent of free with ads. And it's just like a picture of somebody with their ear against the door of the theater.
Yeah.
It's just like, I heard it was good.
Yeah.
I heard it was bad actually, so...
My mate, he got a cheap ticket and he went... Well, he didn't win. He gave those tickets to a friend of his. And I think he didn't go. But
heard it sucks. So we're saying heard it sucks.
Anyway, that is what it is, Mason. But here we go. According to Deadline, The Acolyte has been cancelled probably.
Mm. Now people have been splitting hairs over this.
Well, there's nothing official out of Disney.
Yeah.
Should clarify that. But this is, I would say, 99% true.
No, I know. But I'm saying that there's been some discourse, as there always is.
Oh, yeah.
That... Some series, they say, okay, we made one season and we're not picking it up again for a second season.
Yeah.
Which is different from, we are cancelling this show.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
And I think some people who are big Acolyte haters are like, oh, they cancelled it. And other people are saying, well, they just didn't pick it up again and there's a difference there, you know?
I mean, I think it's the one and the same at this point.
I think it is too,
I think, I know, like, there are people saying that we won, we did a big backlash, and Disney backed down. And don't get me wrong.
We said this was stale popcorn.
Yeah, you did a great backlash.
My cousin heard it was bad.
Kathleen Kennedy, I think she quit.
I heard that.
Yeah, and she's crying.
I mean, she only quit because she was about to get fired.
We're well past the point where people will be like, we got her if Kathleen Kennedy like,
quits
now.
No, I don't think some people are.
It's been 14 years since she came on board, right?
Do you think people are still going to consider it a victory? If she goes, she could put out a statement and say, I've been doing this for 15 years and of my own free will. I think I've done some great work and here's all my successes and of my own free will, I'm retiring and here's my bank balance. Like, here's a screenshot of my bank balance, all the money I made.
Yeah.
Goodbye, everyone. And people would be like, haha, we got her.
Yeah.
We defeated her.
You did too.
Yeah.
She was scared and she was crying.
That's right. To be clear, I'm not crying.
Yeah.
That proves she was crying.
Now, look, I'm not saying that, like, audience reaction to things doesn't make a difference because I think if Andor hadn't have been as well-received or critically as well-received as it did, it probably wouldn't have also got a second season. Like, but that also, the difference between Andor and this is Andor built episode to episode.
But didn't Andor also, haven't they...
It was good, yeah.
Hadn't they set in motion a second season before?
Well, that is true also. Well,
and also, wasn't Andor going to be five seasons?
Oh, and then they cut it down. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, this was also apparently going to move forward. There was talks before it came out that they were in the planning stages of season two. But yeah, make no mistake, this is a rating situation. It got the worst ratings of any Star Wars live action show that they have done by quite a lot. And the first two episodes
lower
did
than
like
the holiday special?
Yeah, lower than that.
The
first two episodes did okay, I think. And it didn't get better. It dropped off significantly.
Uh-huh.
So look, I was talking about this on Friday with some people, some lovely people who I met who came out.
Oh yeah, like, I heard you derailed the episode of Confessions.
I had to.
And if you listen to that, it's going to be mostly silence, and you're going, another thing about the Acolyte. You guys know what the Acolyte is? You don't. Well, settle in.
Here we go. Let's go. We'll all watch it on my phone.
Wait, no, we can't, because that'll give them one more view.
Wait till I learn how to pirate it. I'm going to pirate it. Like, going into it, I liked the concept of it. I liked the cast. Like, this era was an interesting thing. Like, it got away from the Star Wars thing. But I didn't like it. I thought the execution was, like, not good or fun and muddled in the flashbacks and all of that. So, I mean, it sucks that it was canceled for those involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't want to go into bat. Like, I
think you didn't love particularly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it sucks, but you know, whatever.
I think, look, I certainly liked it more than I liked, say, Ahsoka, which was a piece of cardboard.
Mm.
And I think it looked better. I think it was more interesting.
Yeah.
It didn't lean heavily onto Skywalker stuff.
Yeah.
But clearly that's not.
But Anakin Skywalker didn't turn up and go, here's a flashback.
That's true, yeah.
And you loved that.
Maybe you should have.
Yeah.
I mean, Sidious or whatever his name was, that guy was going to.
Creep in a cave.
Yeah, creep in a cave. Who knows what creepy stuff he was getting up to in that cave. Now we'll never know.
We'll find out in a comic probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's disappointing for everybody involved.
Sure.
And, you know, the thing about it as well is we've reached the point as well, I think, where there are certain actors and creatives are not going to want to sign up for a thing with Lucasfilm, with Star Wars, with because they're just going to be inundated with critique.
Absolutely.
And worse, probably.
Absolutely.
You know?
So Molly from Star Wars explained, I'm trying to find a tweet, but I'm using the search function and I type in her name and it doesn't come up. So
wow.
That's really
do you think
good.
That's a skill issue?
No,
or do you think it's a bad
it's a
website?
It's issue.
Okay.
She said something along the lines, and I don't have in front of me, where it was like, it's going to be hard to get invested in things.
Yeah.
Because, like, even if you like a thing or you're looking forward to a thing, it kind of kills the vibe of, you know, and your enthusiasm when you're like, well, why should I bother with any of this?
And that's the thing as well, because
sometimes shows build also.
Sometimes
you know,
shows do build. I mean, there's plenty of shows that, you know, a lot of classics. And that's the reason that people often, you know, when a classic series makes it to Netflix or another streaming service, it becomes, you know, one of the most watched shows because people go, oh, it's Breaking Bad has appeared on this streaming service. It's 5 seasons and it ends in a satisfying manner and I can rewatch the whole thing. I don't have to worry that it's going to do 2 seasons and I'm really invested in the characters and then they cancel it.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, on the one hand, you know, people creating this sort of stuff should probably say, okay, we're going to have a satisfying season one and it's going to wrap up. And if people want more seasons, we'll try that
we'll
again.
From there,
but
yeah.
Then I think maybe executives are going to go, we can't just do that. We can't just have one season and then it's because then people might drop off. So you're going to have to set this, you know, drop the seeds for a next season. Mostly make season one a teaser for season two. If you could make the entire show of season one of a teaser for season two, and we will cancel it.
Absolutely.
We're going to cancel it, so there will be no season two.
Yeah, yeah.
So it'll just be a ghost of a series. You know, just
a
nothing.
Shadow.
Just a shadow of itself.
A whiff.
A shadow of nothing, you know what I mean? Or, you know, I think that, but again, we don't know what these algorithms are. These Disney Plus, Netflix algorithms.
No idea.
You know, what I would like to see is for somebody in a position of decision making to say, we're making a series and it's going to be 3 seasons guaranteed.
Yeah.
You watch it or you don't, we're going to make 3 seasons. And then maybe it's going to, maybe something like that would build. But I don't think anybody, you know, the whatever algorithms they're looking at aren't telling them to do that.
No.
They're not going to start figuring out that sort of damage control means until the venture capital money runs out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know?
I did find that tweet.
Oh, yeah.
It says, Molly Damon says, follow her on Twitter, her and Alex. Or their YouTube, not Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter sucks.
Or us. You can
I couldn't
us.
Even find her, so wow, who knows. Yeah. The worst part about hearing The Acolyte is cancelled is this will absolutely impact my ability to enjoy any more new projects from Star Wars. I feel like everything I went through while the show was on was for nothing. I don't enjoy being depressed and cynical about this fandom. And yeah, absolutely. It's and they're deleting shows off streaming services.
Yeah, they are. One thing I did notice that there was, somebody pointed out that you can't buy Acolyte merchandise on the Star
all got
Wars
removed.
Website.
Yeah.
Like, that's all going. So is The Acolyte another, is it like Willow? Is it going to be a series is this going to be the first Star Wars thing to be removed from Disney Plus?
I would be surprised.
Oh, well, maybe.
If they got rid of it. And the other thing I think is this going to send the message to Lucasfilm that people just want stories set 5 years after Return of the Jedi or just before A New Hope, which is like generally where the things that do well kind of sit or people enjoy of the newer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really want that. I would like to see things in other directions and whatever.
Sure.
Also, I want Andor.
Yeah.
And then you can shut it down. Shut it mm-hmm. all down. I've said that before when Obi-Wan came out, but you know, now I mean it. Mm-hmm. This is real this time. Also, apparently Keanu Reeves at one point was up for Soul.
His name is
Squid Game.
So not Manny Jacinto's role.
But no,
the Mr. Squid Game.
Mr. Squid Game.
Mm-hmm. Skull Squiddy. Squiddy
Lee Jung Jae.
There we go. Yeah.
So I think that could have been really interesting, but also I think that's also good for him that he can be in another thing now.
That's correct.
He can be in a different Star Wars thing if he wants to, as a wise Jediman. You know, he does have that kind of Keanu Reeves kind of hair going on, doesn't he?
In
that,
Keanu Reeves does, yes.
Keanu Reeves, and the other guy, Mason.
The other guy, sure.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, so
and Carrie Ann Moss.
And Carrie Ann Moss, exactly. Put them together. Make him kiss. Make him get married. Make him get married.
Yep. Pull that clause from The Matrix, where if
they appear in a Star Wars television show, they have to get married.
Yeah. And at the time, they're like, oh, what are the odds? Sure, we'll sign, whatever. Good fun. What do you think, Keanu? Yeah, great fun. Huh?
Good friends, good fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is what it is. Mason, trailers ahoy. This one's for The Lord of the Rings, The War of Rohim. It's an anime.
Yep.
But it's here to remind you that Lord of the Rings, the movies. At the start,
Do
you remember Lord of the Rings?
I do, actually.
Well, here's a cartoon.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? So this is director Kenji Kamiyama, and he directed some Blade Runner, Black Lotus, some Ghost in the Shell stuff, Star Wars Visions. He's got his bloody paws and hands and everything. I think he has human hands.
Okay.
He's got his human hands.
Yep, go on.
And all sorts of things. He's, he does some good stuff, man.
Where are his human lips?
Where are they?
Yeah. They're on his human face.
Where they should be.
That's right, yes.
How do you feel about Lord of the Rings not only returning?
This trailer just sort of washed over me. I don't know.
You did say that as you were watching it. Mm.
It didn't. I mean, you know, it's...
Did it bring anything out of you? Because I know your love of Lord of the Rings.
I don't have that. I don't know what you're talking about. You think of someone else.
Mm. I'm thinking of my brother who loves Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, you are thinking of him, yeah.
Yeah. But you said you like The Hobbit, though.
I didn't say that.
No, you didn't.
You're thinking of your brother again.
I am thinking of my brother who doesn't like The Hobbit.
Doesn't he?
No.
Interesting.
Why would he? What are you talking about?
I don't know what your brother's deal is.
You don't.
I've never figured it out. Known him for years. I don't know what his deal is. What's going on in that head of his?
Couldn't tell you.
What's ping-ponging around in that brain?
Probably a ping-pong.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. It just didn't... Where's Gollum? Is what I'm saying.
We're getting the Gollum movie.
Yeah, where are the recognizable Lord of the Rings things? It didn't just...
No, this is like a, you know, it's a Helm's Deep and whatever, and it's 200 years before the Battle of Helm's Deep, and, you know, it's a lead into the whatever. Okay. Tell a different story, Mason. You don't just want Lord of the Rings again, which we are getting. Mm. And we've got that TV show that's happening at the moment, starting this week again.
Yeah.
You getting back into that universe?
Nope. Didn't get into it in the first place.
Yeah, but you could get back to it whenever you wanted.
I don't want to.
Okay, fair enough. So anyway, Mason says, no stars, don't bother.
Okay, well, what are you saying?
Looks all right.
Great.
I'll get involved. Okay. I'm going to see it.
Okay.
I'm going to see it, Mason.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, and we'll see it for work.
All right.
You'll see it for your job as a tram driver, and I'll see it for this.
Okay, sure. Okay. So I don't have to talk about it on the podcast.
No.
I just have to talk with my mates about it. Okay.
No, your mates at work.
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Alrighty,
and then of course we got the
What jumped out at you?
There's a big elephant.
Yeah,
a showdown. She's
I think you'll find that's called
an elephrump or whatever.
Elefrump, exactly. Yeah, think you'll find it's called an elefunk because that's what the Black Eyed Peas named their album after.
That is true.
Yeah.
There's also a bit where a guy's like, "A girl can't be a warrior," and she's like, "I'll be a warrior. Oh, Lord of the Rings all over here."
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
That's what jumped out to me.
Sure.
Just more Lord of the Rings stuff, man. There's nothing wrong with that. Get over it. God, this guy. Megalopolis.
Yeah.
Got a new trailer. First of all, before we get into the controversy of this,
yes.
How did you feel as a trailer? Are you loving the imagery? You're like, wow, Adam Driver's got a real bowl cut in this.
He does, doesn't
he? Harkens back to his early days of Girls where he had a bowl cut.
I still don't know what to make of this movie. Friend of the show, Alexi Toliopoulos.
Well, he was here last week.
He was on last week. We talked about Megalopolis for a little bit. He seemed to enjoy it when he saw it. Again, it still looks to me, like I said, like Francis Ford Coppola accidentally has reinvented early 2000 superhero movies.
Hell yeah.
It looks a lot like that.
But there's some... Yeah. There's some.
It looks like he's made a movie set in the Mystery Man universe.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
Imagine if he did that by accident.
Right?
That would be incredible.
Yeah. Flaming carrot. That's what Adam Driver would say.
Do you reckon
and
it's
the
say
flaming
that?
Carrot would appear, yes.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
So, of course, the controversy from this, though, is that there's a bunch of quotes at the start.
Yeah, so what they've done is they've...
They're basically letting people know that this movie might suck.
Yeah, or you might think it sucks.
But don't. But it actually
yeah,
isn't.
So
it's good.
So it's quotes from... It is alleged quotes from apparently scathing reviews of some of his previous movies from the 60s and the 70s to prove that critics were wrong. You know, people like Siskel and Ebert, Pauline Kael, like famous
dead
critics.
People.
And, you know, and it's lines critiquing his movies like Apocalypse Now or The Godfather when they came out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one's for The Godfather.
Uh-huh.
This one is from Andrew Saris from The Village Voice, who says, a sloppy, self-indulgent movie. Ooh, that's harsh. Isn't that a good movie? Don't people like The Godfather generally?
I think they do.
This one is also from The Godfather. It says, diminished by its artisanness.
Mm.
That's from
this
The New Yorker.
This one says, Bram Stoker's Dracula was a beautiful mess.
Bram Stoker's horny Dracula.
Yeah, that's
this
right.
This one
yeah.
says, Apocalypse Now, a spectacular failure. That's John Simon from The National Review.
Mm.
This one from Vincent Canby from The New York Times says, hollow at the core.
Mm. Roger Ebert, famous reviewer Roger Ebert, said of Dracula, horny Dracula,
yeah.
a triumph of style over substance.
Whoa. Rex okay. Reed says, Daily News about Apocalypse Now, an epic piece of trash.
Whoa.
All these dead people, Mason.
And that's what people said back in the 70s. They said, this is trash.
This is
epic. Mid and trash, actually. But anyway, it turns out that... Basically, all of these quotes are not real.
One might be from a Batman movie.
Yeah, so Roger Ebert's comment, a triumph of style over substance, was from his 1989 review of Batman.
Whoa.
And other ones are just completely mad. Some of these reviewers are no longer with us. Pauline Kael's no longer with us. Siskel and Ebert not as well.
Yep.
But basically, these are just completely made-up quotes for the most part. And what I think has happened, somebody from Lionsgate has gone to ChatGPT and has said... Hey, ChatGPT, find me some quotes from negative reviews of Francis Ford Coppola movies. And it's just auto-completed.
And didn't check it. Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
Well, apparently, yeah, these are supposed
Make
to be...
Make me a list.
Yeah, these are supposed to be AI-generated. Variety said that Lionsgate is immediately recalling our trailer for Megalopolis.
Yep.
We offer our sincere apologies to the critics involved and to Francis Ford Coppola, an American zoetrope, for this inexcusable error in our vetting process. We screwed up. We are sorry. They also parted ways with Eddie Egan, the marketing consultant who came up with the Megalopolis trailer that included the fake quotes.
You're right.
So, yeah, someone got fired, Mason.
Yeah.
Nobody checked this either.
It's crazy. Yeah, you would, because also all of these, like just as a baseline, like all of Siskel and Ebert's reviews are available on their website and you could just...
You could find bad or middling reviews for any of these
movies. So Owen Gleiberman, who did was a reviewer for Variety, he was cited as calling the 1992 film Bram Stoker's Horny Dracula a beautiful mess and highlighting its absurdity, where he worked for Entertainment Weekly at the time. And he said, as far as me calling Bram Stoker's Dracula a beautiful mess, I only wish I'd said that. Regarding that film, it now sounds kind.
That's fun.
Yeah. Well, critics love The Godfather, and though Apocalypse Now was divisive, it received a lot of crucial critical support. So that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, I guess the question then becomes, was this a dumb accident via ChatGPT? I think it was.
Yeah.
Or is this some sort of scheme to, like, highlight like the absurdity of reviews and like this is a fantasy world and everything's crazy in this fantasy world.
Are we being played?
Is this even real?
Are we being played?
We might be being played.
Are we in the Mystery Men universe?
We might be in the Mystery Men universe, but I don't think we are.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
God, I don't have time for that, quite frankly.
No.
I'm pretty busy. I think that this started as an idea so people go, well, I think it's bad, but maybe it's not.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I don't know whether it's got to be bad. I mean, Alexi loved it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he got to be in it, sort of.
That's
so he
true,
can't
be
trusted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think it's got to be interesting.
He changed his name to Alexi Megalopoulos.
Did he really?
That. Yeah.
That's great.
That's how much he loved it.
That's cool.
I understand the idea behind this. It's like, well, I don't like it, but, these professional critics back in the day didn't like any of these, so maybe...
Yeah.
Maybe I'll see it again.
Maybe I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Maybe you are.
Yeah.
Mason, this is via My Time to Shine. Hello. Apparently, Jack Black and Paul Rudd are set to star in a new Anaconda movie.
Now, the plot of this allegedly is that they're playing two characters who loved the movie Anaconda from back in the day.
What?
And they want to they want to go and recreate the movie Anaconda, and then they get mixed up with an anaconda.
Oh my God.
That is what I read anyway.
Do you know Owen Wilson is in the original Anaconda? I just think that's funny because they probably all
know
each
other. Let me
tell
you this about that revelation that Owen Wilson, for me, was in Anaconda.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
It's really interesting.
Very interesting.
I don't think it's very or really interesting, but it is true.
Mm.
Do you reckon they'll bring back John Voight?
No.
Do you think if that is that idea, they're going to bring back some of that cast to be like...
Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah, Jennifer Lopez. Ice Cube is in it. Eric Stoltz is in it. Okay. Danny Trejo's in it. John Voight is in it. Frank Welker is the voice of Anaconda.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Angela Anaconda. Do you ever see that show?
No.
Don't worry about it, Mason. Okay. All right. And they made a bunch of those, didn't they?
Yep.
There's some director whatever.
Probably an Anaconda 5D.
Yeah, I remember enjoying first Anaconda. I remember it's a bit of a fun schlock kind of situation. Yeah.
Okay.
Remember the bit where John Voight gets vomited by a snake and then he goes, wink.
Yeah,
I'm John Voight.
That's right.
I'm John Voight. I'm in Megalopolis.
If you were Hollywood's worst in Megalopolis, have you noticed?
No, I don't notice anything. But I do notice this. THR are saying... that James Spader will voice Ultron in the Vision TV series.
Age of Ultron, the last movie James Spader was in. Think about
true?
It.
Blacklist.
That's a TV series.
No, I'm saying, I'm thinking of the other things that he did. The Office for a time.
Correct.
God. Did you do that one where he, the fucking Boston Legal? Did he do any more Boston Legal?
I don't think he did any more Boston Legal.
This is about Boston Legal.
Yeah.
Let me have a look.
But The Blacklist, very successful, so I imagine he's making that TV money.
Yeah, you're right. That was the last one that he did. But he did do the motion capture, though, so he's probably all tuckered out from that.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, good on you. No, he's pretty much just done The Blacklist since, and that was it. Though he is in something, he's in Untitled Vision series in 2026.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
Which I think they're probably just going to call the Vision. I think a lot of people...
White Vision?
Yeah, White Vision's a little off. Also, Vision Quest seems a little bit...
White Vision Quest.
Oh, that's good, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
The White Vision Quest, the only true Vision Quest, they should call it.
That's what they should call it.
God. All other Vision Quests are fake, they
completely
should call
agree.
It. Okay. Yeah. All right, well, that's still going forward, so that's interesting.
Apparently it is.
Yeah.
Now, THR, they got some information on how Robert Downey Jr. decided to come back to...
I was going to say, James Spader is the Ultron in that movie. Yeah. He's got some good lines in that movie.
Give me your face.
I'm Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
You know, and
I
so
want
forth.
Your vibranium.
Yeah, exactly. Give me a vibranium.
I'm making a vision. I'm going to get in his body.
Yeah.
THR, they spoke to Robert Downey Jr. about how he decided to come back to the MCU.
Okay.
So he said... So probably a year ago, because, you know, Feige and I have kept in touch. We're pals. Favreau, Feige, and I have kept in touch. I'm close friends with the Russo brothers, but I'll never say which one I like more. We have other business we're doing. So there's a little group of fellow travelers, and I had this instinct that I wanted to go to Bob Iger, and I had this idea outside of the cinematic universe where I could be of service to what's going on at the parks and their location-based entertainment. So, you know, this Iron Man has come back in the parks this thing.
Okay.
You know, he's like, hi, I'm Iron Man, and welcome to Disney,
etc. Did they kill him in the parks?
Yeah, they killed him in the parks.
Was he executed in the town square in the middle of Disney
World?
Wow, in front of children?
Yep.
Wow.
You're a fan of that?
Yeah, it's cool.
Susan and I were sitting down with Feige. That's Robert Downey Jr.'s wife. That's
Susan
right.
Downey Jr.
That's right, and they production company together. Mm-hmm. And at one point he said, it just keeps occurring to me that if you were to come back, and Susan was like, wait, come back as what?
Excuse me, what did you say, Robert Downey Jr.?
What did you say to my husband? I'll kill you. Then we both realized over time that it was another thing that just disproves any doubt anyone could ever have about that guy. A very sophisticated creative thinker about how can we not go backwards? How can we not disappoint expectations? How can we continue to beat expectations? And he brought up Victor Von Doom. I looked up his character and I was like, wow.
Later, I'm the biggest fan.
Yeah.
I wish I've been the biggest fan for 20
100
years.
$100 million.
$100 million in years.
Yeah. Wow. Later Kevin goes, let's get Victor Von Doom right. Let's get it right. And then they went and sat down with Bob Iger, and Bob Iger goes, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I don't care, whatever. Hey, you're Mr. Money.
You're Mr. Money. Yeah.
And you're Susan Downey Jr.
Mm. You're Mrs. Money Jr.
Mrs. Money Jr. That's right. All right. We've got all this money in the room. That's fine with me.
Yeah.
You got an idea? Whatever, money people. The money bringers.
Do you think this happened, these conversations happened as soon as the first thing came out about Jonathan Majors? Like, even the early days, they're like, let's fucking get ahead of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's start something in motion.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, because even if, you know, that all didn't happen, there's still room to bring back Doom, you know, down the line in another thing, but it turns out they're doing it this time. There's also rumors this week that they were looking at him or Mads Mikkelsen. Now, of course, he already played Caecilius, as everybody remembers.
Everybody remembers Caecilius.
Doctor Strange, original time.
And he was going to be in the new Vision Quest spin-off sitcom, Everybody Remembers Caecilius. You know? When he's lost his powers, he just wanders around New York.
He's lost his powers, his eyes are normal. He still has a ponytail. That's right. It's regular New York, it's not Mirror Dimension.
That's right.
So yeah, is any of this...
But he thinks it's the Mirror Dimension, so he's always going for the wrong side of the door.
Like, oh, no. Know,
reaching for the doorknob, but it's the wrong side, and it's like, okay, Caecilius.
I don't... There's no insight here. I don't know.
No, I didn't even really... Like, that seemed like a series of buzzwords and... And just incoherent rambling, honestly.
Do you think
honestly?
This is a good idea? Yes. Well, what do you mean? Well, I think you should do this. Well, that's clever, actually. And we're friends.
Yeah. And we've finished doing that Robert Downey Jr.'s Crazy Cars show or whatever.
Yeah.
Of which we maybe did one season or 7 years worth. I don't know. I don't know how many years we did.
Robert Downey Jr. goes, look at these cars.
Yeah.
People go, yeah, right.
Some of them are powered by carrots or whatever.
None of them are powered by carrots, Mason.
Interesting.
Wow. I haven't seen it, though, to be fair.
No, that's true, yeah.
Yeah. So that's fun, isn't it, I guess?
That is fun.
I would have preferred Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is going to be bad, but I just think I would have liked Mads Mikkelsen.
But I mean, and again, that is the thing of they're going to go where the money's. Like, I would have preferred, and I know a lot of people, I know people in the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates group would have preferred a Romani actor because, you know, Victor Von Doom's entire origin is based around him being Romani.
Well, Robert Downey Jr. did a Welsh accent in the movie where he pulled a pair of bagpipes out of the dragon's butt. So he probably can do an accent.
And he
Mason.
Was Charlie Chaplin.
And he was Charles Chaplin.
Mm.
And he was Air America.
And he was Iron Man.
He was Iron Man.
And he was Due Date. He was Due Date in the movie Due Date.
Due Date.
Yeah. And he was...
The judge or something.
He was the judge,
my
wasn't he?
My dad's going to jail, not on my watch.
Yeah.
I remember the tagline.
And he had an album that time, do you remember?
Did he?
He had a jazz album.
Oh, yeah, and he mimed that Elton John song once.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he went to jail.
He did all that cocaine.
Ally McBeal.
Ally McBeal. Scooby-Doo boo bop it up, you know?
Weird science.
Weird science, yeah. But anyway, should be a Romani guy. And people are like, well, how many Romani actors are they? I don't know. But
there's probably some.
There's probably some. Remember how they needed like a deaf American Indian woman to play Echo, so they found someone.
Oh yeah.
Remember when they needed a young Muslim woman who loved Marvel.
Yeah.
Superheroes, so they got Iman Vellani who'd never acted before, and
she was perfect. But Mason, she was already famous.
That's true.
Actually, she wasn't famous at all.
No
I just remembered that.
And then
she became like beloved. People like her a lot.
Yeah. She was on a few seasons of Robert Downey Jr.'s Crazy Cars, though.
Was she?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Nepo kids, you know?
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I could know Robert Downey Jr. I just don't.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Mason, let's do some Martian Manhunter news. Two pieces.
Okay, great.
One is that James Gunn posted a picture of Chocos.
Oh, yeah, which is the off-brand Oreos that Martian Manhunter loves in the comic books.
That's right. They're in the DC universe. There's a bunch of products that only exist in...
This Soda Cola.
Big Belly Burger.
That's correct.
Something, et cetera, and so on.
The Daily Planet.
The Daily Planet. That is a newspaper or something. Yeah, or probably now it's an online resource and media conglomerate.
That's right.
But, because you know the way media moves these days.
Yeah.
People are saying that's a hint towards Martian Manhunter, and it could very well be. Knowing James Gunn, it probably is.
Yeah.
It might show up for a little bit. But of course, the other bit of Martian Manhunter news is something that did not happen. We got some very high-res images of Hugh Keyes-Burn, of course, played Morton Joe.
That's right.
In Mad Max Fury Road.
And Tokyo Drift Mad Max 1.
He did, that's right. Different characters, though. He was going to be Martian Manhunter in George Miller's, like, I don't want to say 2009 Justice League
Justice
movie.
Justice League Mortal, yes.
And it's just a gross suit prosthetic situation. Right. It's like,
absolutely, yeah. Because I guess we'd seen a very... Like a sort of an all cast photo from a significant
distance. And he's like on one knee. You can't really see.
Was that concept art? Or was that
no? That's real. There's the Megan Gale stuff.
Yeah.
Leaked as well a few years back, and that one. Yeah, you've probably seen this.
Yeah.
So I think they're slowly drip feeding us these
absolutely
over the decades and et cetera. So all right. Yeah. I would have loved to have seen that movie.
Me too.
But we can't ever see it now. Maybe they'll do an...
They didn't make it.
They'll do an AI animated one. It'll be
bad. Perfect. Just, oh my God, I cannot wait for...
Everybody moving slowly
and looking stoically at the camera.
Yeah.
It goes... Dum, 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 dum. And they just staring. It's good. Oh, incredible. Can you imagine the plot that would be in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
I can.
Yeah. Oh, Darkseid's there, zooming.
Let's get him. Dum, 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 dum. Yeah, I'm not even saying it would have been good, but sure. It would have been fucking weird. I know that.
Yeah.
All right, Mason, let's talk about Michael Keaton. He spoke to GQ, and this is via Variety, where they asked him about, hey, man, you filmed a whole movie, Batgirl, and you put on that stupid suit.
That's right.
And you stood stoically. And
you're in an alley next to the Batmobile.
Yep.
Remember, you know, memories? Same Batmobile or a new Batmobile, I don't know.
You probably were made to say, let's get nuts.
Exactly right,
and all of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it sad that that movie got cancelled? And he said, no, I didn't care one way or another. Big, fun, nice check. Keaton said when asked if he was disappointed in the film's acting. GQ notes that Keaton was also rubbing his fingers together in the universal gesture for Mula.
That's great. That's fun.
I like those boys. They're nice guys. And he added on a softer note about Batgirl director Adil El Arbi and Bilal Fallah. I pull for them. I want them to succeed, and I think they felt very badly. And that made me feel bad. Me, I'm good.
Yeah.
Well, at least we know he has empathy.
Exactly. Also, you know what tone he's delivering that in, you know what I mean?
The tone I did.
Yeah.
No, he's pretty like, that's, you know what he's like.
Yeah, yeah, we do. It's true, actually, yeah.
No, I don't think this is like a... I don't think it's disrespectful. No, it was like, no, I got fucking paid. Yeah. And I'm sorry that didn't come out, but like, it doesn't affect me directly. Mm. What does it matter to him?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Got a bunch of money. Like, he doesn't need a big break.
Yeah, he doesn't need to
prove. And he also got to be Batman again anyway.
Yeah,
so,
that's right. Yeah. He doesn't need to prove himself. He doesn't need to prove himself in the superhero genre sphere or in like the dramatic acting sphere of like regular movies. Like, he's proven himself. Four decades, you know what I mean?
He's proven himself multiplicity times.
Yeah. This isn't the one that he was going to win an Oscar for.
No. Mm. I mean, we'll never know now.
That's true. Maybe,
we can recreate it using AI.
Yeah, that's true.
I've already done it. Looks bad. I just did it then.
That's a shame.
While we were talking.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Firefly, no. He's coming at me really slowly.
Some of this looks good and some of it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Also, his mask is different scene to scene. You notice that? There's all these like inconsistencies. You can't get it to make like the same face twice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Junk. Bad. But it'll only get better, and that's cool. All right, should we talk about the movie we're talking about?
Yes. Oh, before we do.
Oh, let's wait.
Here's some Ultron quotes. This is the movie Age of Ultron.
Okay.
This church was built in the middle of the city so everyone could be equally close to God. I like that. The symmetry, the geometry of belief.
That's a good
line. Yeah. Here's one. When the earth starts to settle, God throws a stone at it. And believe me, he's winding up.
Damn.
It's a good line.
These Joss Whedon lines are going hard, Mason.
He's a bad person with some good lines, you know? As I always say, keep your friends rich and your enemies rich and then wait to find out which is which.
Whoa.
It's Robert Downey Jr.
Oh.
No, that was also Ultron.
Oh.
But I'm saying that's... You
know. That's Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. And et cetera, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Ultron and that just happened.
That's right. I'm Ultron and he's behind me, isn't he?
Next thing, Mason.
Yeah, next thing.
Blink twice.
We watched it. It's a
movie. No, do it. There he is. Yeah. On a budget of $20 million.
Joke's on him. I just winked four times. You got tricked, idiot.
I did.
Yeah.
That much like the people in this movie, maybe. I don't know.
Right,
no spoilers yet.
Yeah.
On a budget of $20 million, it had a box office return of $7.1 million.
Say those numbers again.
It cost $20 million. Uh-huh. Box office return in the US, it's going to make about $7.1 million opening.
Okay, right. This is a low-budget movie.
It'll probably do all right, yeah.
This is a movie with one location. They filmed on location. Directorial debut of Zoe Kravitz. Who you'll know from Mad Max Fury Road.
That's right.
The Batman.
That
season of High Fidelity, which is good, but I only figured out that it existed after it got cancelled.
Okay, cool.
Other things?
Cool.
Yeah.
This is...
But she's not in it.
No. It is, Deadpool 3 took the top spot again in the box office. It took it from Alien Romulus, which had like a 61% drop off, which will still probably end up doing all right, especially around the world. But it did debut ahead of The Crow, which cost a lot more. Mm-hmm. Originally, this was going to be called Pussy Island.
Oh, I know. I've heard.
But apparently, like, they focus tested it and women specifically were like, no, don't do that. And she was like, well, the idea was like to reclaim the word and all of that, but... It seems that people are not quite ready for that.
Sure.
But your kids are going to love it. Mason, what do you think the story was?
Oh, come on, mate. All right. There's a young woman named Frida.
Yep.
And she's her and her best friend. Mm-hmm. They live together, they're housemates, and they're cater waiters And one day they're gonna be catering an event by what's his name, Channing Tatum's, and he's a big tech billionaire, and he's been involved in some sort of scandal, but he's turned a new leaf,
yep.
And he's really sorry.
Yeah, he's really
because
sorry
because of all the stuff he's done. But he's returned to the simple life by buying an island and living on an island.
That's right.
Lives the simple, grows his own food on this island. Anyway, they're catering this event by this guy, and Frida's like, I'm gonna get in with him, and we're gonna become best friends. This is gonna be great. And then they do that, and then he's like, why don't you two come with me onto the island? We'll fly to the island. We'll have a great time on the island.
Hell yeah!
And then they do.
They're like, should we go to an island with a billionaire? Nah, fuck it. Why not? Should be cool.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. It seems pretty cool initially. Everyone's smoking marijuana.
Yeah.
And having a run around and mm-hmm. putting clothes on.
Sure, absolutely.
There's some snakes, but don't worry about it.
Don't worry about the snakes.
That's totally okay. I think if you enjoyed Get Out mm-hmm. or Don't Worry, Darling.
Sure.
Or other movies.
Okay. That's a low bar to clear. Get Out. Get Out's a good
one. No, I think we've talked about Don't Worry, Darling.
Well, it's almost a great film,
I completely agree. I really enjoyed this, though. I thought it was pretty solid.
I think some of the pacing is a little off, but I think the mechanism, there's something is happening on this island.
Yeah.
The characters are...
Were you like, oh, get to it or whatever?
Not really. But these two friends, they get on the island and they meet these high society types and all having a great time.
But
things seem to be not... Something seems off.
Yeah.
Frida's friend is like, oh, I don't know about this place, and things are a little off. And it's about sort of memory and this sort of thing. And so I felt like a little bit of the pacing was like, there's an inciting incident in this movie,
mm-hmm.
but it seems to take place like about halfway through the second act. And I'm like,
yeah,
that's a little late to, that's but then I enough. Guess you go, well, it, you know.
Sometimes
it's a little late. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I think it does a good job with building tension.
Uh-huh.
I think there's a nice balance between, you know, the tension, and there's a little bit of humor in there.
There is, yeah.
Gets a little crook towards the end.
Oh yeah, it gets real crook. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think as you mentioned, like the cast is great. Channing Tatum's.
Alia Shawkat, famously of Arrested Development,
of course,
and Search Party.
This
third season of which I haven't seen and I should watch.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I think it goes places you wouldn't expect it to go.
Yeah, yeah. And the interesting cast, because it's got some kind of sort of younger, some sort of Hollywood new blood. So we've got Adria Arjona, who was in Hitman recently.
Yep. And she's Bix in Andor.
That's right.
She's incredible in this as well.
But then we've also got, you know, a Christian Slater, a Haley Joel Osment.
Yep. Kyle MacLachlan.
Gina Davis is in this.
Gina Davis is in this.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's a...
And I saw, you know how Letterboxd does those red carpet interviews where they go up to people and they say...
Hello.
Hey, what are your four favourite movies? A couple of weeks ago, they asked... Ridley Scott, his four favorite movies, and one of his was Blade Runner. He's just like, and I'm enjoying this trend of people just going, yeah, one of my favorite movies of all time is a movie that I made. But Gina Davis was asked, and one of hers was Thelma and Louise.
Hell yeah.
She's just like, yeah, I love Thelma and Louise.
She didn't like Cutthroat Island?
She didn't say. She didn't even mention The Long Kiss Goodnight.
What? That's a good
Sounds
movie
Sounds like
too.
A woman who hates her own filmography.
I completely agree.
Me.
Women should be supporting their women, even if it's you, yourself.
Yeah.
Back yourself, man.
And me.
Yeah, and Mason specifically.
Mm.
I think the other thing about this movie is it looks incredible. I mean, you wouldn't think... I mean, Zoe Kravitz has obviously had a career in the arts and maybe grew up a little more advantaged than other people when it comes to being close to an artistic scene.
Oh,
Mason.
You're saying she's an Epo baby.
No, I'm not saying that, but she is. But that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But she's never been like, as far as I know, I got here through pure talent and grit.
Uh-huh.
Unless she has said that. But she clearly has an eye for this kind of thing, like the style of this movie. Again, a director doesn't do every single element of a film.
That's true.
But she clearly like handles and wrangles this really, really well. I liked the pace of it. I liked the tension of it. I like the ominous feeling that it gave. Like before you kind of know what's going on, it is unsettling, but no, you can't really specifically know why.
Yeah, look, I have a couple of more small critiques.
Oh.
Which is going to make me sound like I'm very critical of this movie. But I think, I agree. It's very, there is a great vibe to it, a great unsettling vibe. It does look incredible.
Yeah.
I think there are a couple of like plot contrivances.
Oh, yeah.
But I think you have to kind of just
go with
it. Just go with them. And like, it's in service of the story,
I think. Though, if you looked at like, Get Out and Don't Worry, Darling.
Yeah.
I don't think it's any more outlandish than the things we've seen in movies like that.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, that's some bullshit. But I think also if it's a worse movie, then you're like, well, that's But because you kind of like you're in it,
yeah,
and you're invested in the characters, and you know, and you're rooting for a certain outcome for Channing Tatum to just be a good person,
just to really just get richer and richer,
just believe
know?
In him,
just really get richer, you know, financially and emotionally, just a real enrichment of his soul, you know,
absolutely,
yeah.
And there's also a moment in this movie where it just becomes girls being mates, you know?
That's true.
And I think that's cool how, like, there is this kind of bonding moment, this banding together and, like, figuring out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, like, the way it turns then is a really interesting outcome.
There's not a lot we can say, really, about this movie without spoiling it, I don't think, you know.
I will say this has got great sound design as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think one sound in particular which really stuck out was Channing Tatum's vape. It's got a real crackle,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, which I
just found really kind of satisfying.
Yeah. I think more iconic vapes in movies. You
Please.
Know? You know?
If
the,
you
the
could.
Era of the iconic jacket is over. Move over Ryan Gosling. It's iconic vapes.
It's iconic vapes.
Iconic lighters
time.
As well. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, smoking's back in a big way.
Smoking is back in a big way. Oh, and snakes.
Snakes are back in a big way.
Snakes are back in a big way. We're not that far in, but should we do some spoilers?
I think we should. No, best movie ever. I mean, if you're looking for something that isn't The Crow to watch this week, or if you've watched Deadpool and Wolverine a bunch of times and you're like, I'd like to see something else.
Or maybe you want
to
see The Crow again.
Maybe you do. Maybe you want to support The Crow. Mm. You know?
Support The Crow at your local cinema.
That's right.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to get in as many viewings as you can in the one day it'll be at your local cinema. And then we'll never see it again. It'll be deleted off everything. So
God, it was a long road to The Crow, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it, though.
The Crow.
It's its own thing, apparently. I don't know.
It's its Crow thing. Anyway, spoilers.
So best movie ever?
Yep,
best
time goes below if you don't want to jump ahead.
Yeah.
So it turns out that this island is not just any island.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is, actually. It's an island.
Yeah.
And it's covered in snakes. But they're conducting this kind of billionaire experiment. But it's not so much experiment. It's more just like a device to torture women.
Yeah.
So there's a perfume that you spray and it basically means that you are... it kind of makes you malleable in terms of things that you will remember, specifically trauma.
Yeah.
So it wipes any trauma that you will have from your mind in taking it.
Yes.
So they're having these, it seems like, because again, like the first probably 50 minutes of this movie seemed, not exclusively, but they're just living the same day again and again, getting up, you know, having drinks by the pool, having a swim, having a vape, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a little fun kind of party at night. And
then, a little dinner. And
then it rip.
And they run around. Hits.
Yeah, and they run around and they're like, why are we running? And then you kind of realize what's happening is that they're actually there to be, like all the men who are there are just...
They're all assaulting them.
They're all assaulting them basically at every night. And then they wake up and they're forgotten. But there's little clues along the way that of how they kind of got there. And, you know, but you can't really make heads nor tails of it until...
Well, then Frida is given a... Frida is given a little what do you call them? Flask.
Yeah.
What do you call those? Hip flask.
Hip flask,
She's one of the the cleaning staff offers her a little hip flask of some mysterious green liquid, and she drinks it, and it's awful. But it's venom from the snakes,
snake venom
in the
that's before her friend gets bit.
Yes.
So if you take the snake venom, then basically it negates any of the drugs,
which is quite the contrivance.
Absolutely,
because it's the only.
I mean,
the island is the only place that has the flowers that makes the perfume that makes you forget, but the island is also the only place that has the snakes that negates the...
Yeah. You'd think that they could maybe keep the island separate.
Sure,
is what I'm saying. But it's fine. I don't mind any of that. But her friend early had been bitten.
Yeah, and therefore remembered it, so they had to kill her.
So had to kill her, but they, of course, don't remember her being killed or her specifically. And then it's about unraveling kind of what is going on. And then it's when you get, you know, the more kind of teaming up. It's not immediate. You don't remember immediately. It slowly comes back to you. So if you have the snake venom, you got a few hours before your brain switches back online. And then you're like, so there's a few people that have, like, they all end up taking the snake venom and you know they're going to remember at some point. And it's like, well, what is that going to look like when they realize what has been happening?
Revenge, basically.
Big time team ups and revenge. Just girls being mates.
And I would say it's mostly satisfying revenge.
I would say so, yeah.
I mean, it is a shame that Elia Shawcat's character is murdered.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And of course, Gina Davis takes a shot of the, or multiple shots of the
snake venom.
The snake venom. And she remembers, but then she's mad about it.
Yeah.
She would prefer to forget.
She doesn't want to know.
She doesn't want to know.
She just wants to keep her job.
She's been enabling this billionaire to do this horrible island.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and it's also Naomi Aki's character, who also, by the way, is in Star Wars.
That character from
Star Wars, but also done better things, including this. She'd been there before.
Yes.
So Channing Tatum seemed to have some kind of affection for her. He seemed to genuinely like her, but also enjoy torturing her. It was
Because he's also there's a reveal in this that he and his sister were molested as kids.
Yeah.
And he wants to. He's awful, but he seems to think that
he's doing good by
that erasing people's memories is a better option than working through the trauma. It's absolutely. Just erase it and don't remember it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The way it wraps up though, she spikes his vape.
That's right.
With the memory drug.
Uh-huh.
Marries him, takes over the company.
Yeah.
And just keeps him as kind of, I guess, like a face or a figurehead, but she's the one making all the moves and can enact revenge or do any kind of thing that she's interested in doing. Right. Yeah, which I thought was a really interesting ending to this, instead of just like, you know, caving his head in like they did to Christian Slater or whatever.
I would have caved his head in probably.
But yeah, I mean, you don't get to take over the company then.
Oh, that's true.
So she can cave his head in later if she's so inclined. Mm. So he's this kind of befuddled.
Yeah.
I don't know, he just stands around, basically.
Yeah, right.
Just stands around while she makes
the living the dream. Company.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, just to stand around?
Oh, just to be a figurehead?
Oh, my goodness. God.
Just to be a trophy Channing Tatum?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But no, I quite enjoyed this. I mean, when I say enjoyed.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
I thought it was a good movie.
It's well done. It's well made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in my opinion. Mm. And that's all the things I'm going to say about that movie.
Wow.
Now I'm going to forget that movie using snake venom or the opposite. I probably won't.
Reverse snake venom. Wow.
That snake poop comes out the other end.
Yep, it's true.
All right, should we move it along then?
Yes, let's move it along.
All right, what are we going to do though?
We should do what we're reading.
Well, I'm not busy.
What are we going to read?
Let's do that now.
Yeah, let's do it now.
I'm doing the thing. Oh, this is not really a spoiler, but just quickly getting back to the movie we're just talking about.
Go on.
There was a moment where they all kind of had this revelation that, like, how they were kind of tricked or kind of, not even tricked, they just decided to go along to this island. They were just like, what are we doing? We should be smarter than this.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that moment quite a lot. Anyways, Mason, this is a segment of the show where we go, hello, what have you been reading or doing or watching or listening to?
Yes.
What have you been doing?
Well, speaking of remakes, like the remake of The Crow we didn't watch.
The Crow.
I decided I would watch John Woo's 2024 remake of the John Woo 1989 Hong Kong action thriller, The Killer.
Okay.
It's on Peacock in the US. It's on Netflix in Australia and I presume everywhere else.
Okay. Why did he do this?
Which sounds like a joke. It sounds like a 30 Rock joke that, like, Judah Friedlander's character on 30 Rock would be like, I can't wait for the remake of Hard Boiled on Peacock.
It's got Natalie Emmanuel.
So she's from the Fast and Furious franchise and other things.
It's got Sam Worthington.
Yeah, that's
right. And
it's
got a 54% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know what that means for their new popcorn meter.
That's true.
So how did you feel about this?
I think, for the most part, it's quite good.
Is it what about action wise? What's it doing for you?
Look,
like, why would you watch this over the original?
You would watch this over the original because you can't watch the original because due to various licensing things, you can't really get it most places.
What?
You can steal it off the internet. We've talked about this briefly.
Okay.
But to recap, so.
Oh yeah, shit. Yeah, this is nowhere.
Yeah. So just to recap briefly, in the 80s, you know, Hong Kong action was starting to be kind of a big deal. And so a Hong Kong real estate company, the name of which escapes me, but I think it might be like Princess Real Estate or something like that, decided to get into the movie making business. And so they bankrolled all of John Woo's like early classics.
Okay.
So A Better Tomorrow, The Killer, Bullet in the Head and Hard Boiled.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of others, I don't know. And they handled, like, the international distribution, so, like, movie releases and, like...
Would they go through other companies, et cetera, to distribute? Would they be, like...
Yeah, they would. So
Warner Brothers or whatever.
Yeah, or they... In Australia, I think it would have been Mad Men Entertainment or something like that. And so they arranged all these distribution deals for VHS and DVD or whatever. But, of course, those deals eventually expire and the rights revert back to this company. But since then, the demand for Hong Kong action movies has kind of cooled off a little bit.
Okay.
So that company now just does real estate. So they don't do movies anymore. So if you're like an Australian distributor and you want to do like a new Blu-ray release of The Killer,
yeah,
you email them and most likely you get nothing back. like in the best case scenario, they send you an email that's like, we don't do movies and we never did. So they're just locked away. So like the, if you find them on, if you find like, if your country has these movies on Blu-ray or DVD or whatever, either their contract either went for like 40 years or it's just, you know, it's bootlegs.
God.
You know
what I mean? And so. they could make some money here.
Yeah, they could make some money. Or at least
we have talked about this. Yeah, just give it to somebody else to do. Like, yeah, keep the rights.
Yeah.
But you don't have to do any of it.
Yeah.
That's wild.
But anyway, otherwise, you know.
So Torrance. He remade it.
I don't know if that's specifically why he remade it.
So how was it action-wise, though?
It's pretty solid, I think.
It's not like Netflixy generic kind of action.
It's certainly not as squibby as the originals.
Squibby's my favorite streaming service. Nice. Vertical streaming. Yeah.
Mine's Squibby, which is free, but there's ads. So that, you know, those original John Woo action movies, they are sort of famously insanely squibby. Like it's that, you know, it's the two gun action. It's, you know, some people call that genre heroic bloodshed.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, Chow Yun-fat will like empty two handguns into one guy and it's just squib after squib after squib. It's not that.
Yeah.
It's a little CGI blood, but I think it's quite charming. There's a sequence where Natalie Emanuel's character and Omar Sy, who's the new kind of police detective who's trying to track her down, they have a kind of a meet cute where they like have a gun on each other and they're in the hospital and then some bad guys come out from, you know, from behind and they sort of, you know, they take their eyes off one another and they shoot the bad guys and then they put the guns back on themselves. It's quite like it's fun and charming. I think there's some interesting, you know, chase sequences and stuff like that. I think, charming leads is the key. I think Natalie Emanuel's good. I think Omar Sy's good.
Is it the same story?
Yes.
Okay.
So basically,
is the first one funny in the way that this one is?
I don't really think this one is particularly funny.
Oh, charming, I guess.
Charming, yeah. No.
no.
Yeah, so the plot of the original and the plot of this one is that your main character, she's a killer and she was contracted to kill a bunch of guys who are sort of in a nightclub at this point.
Yeah.
And in doing so, she accidentally blinds a nightclub singer. And and the contract was to kill everybody in the nightclub and she doesn't kill her. And so, you know, various bad guy factions, they want to get rid of her and they want to kill the singer and she wants to protect her and there's the police are there also and, you know, it's a whole thing and there's drug smuggling and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
I think it's worth a watch.
So we got the killer 1989.
Yes.
And we got the killer 2024. How does it compare to the killer from 2023 starring Michael Fassbender?
I think the killer starring Michael Fassbender is a better movie.
Than all of these movies?
No, I don't think it's as good as the 1989 The Killer.
There's
also a third The Killer on Netflix, I think, but none of the John Woo movies are on there.
That's great.
Yeah, it is great.
They could
it?
Just put them on streaming, couldn't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
They could even make a streaming
they
service.
They do in BitTorrent. BitTorrent is a streaming service.
That's a good point.
Isn't it, though?
And it's free.
Yeah.
Great. Well, Mason, I watched with my family.
Go on.
I'd seen it before. I saw it in 2008, but I saw it 100 feet back from the stage. Now, that's not very far. Much further than the very back. I saw Wicked in London.
Oh.
And it's come to Melbourne. It's just wrapping up. So
you saw a live thing.
I saw a live thing. Oh. I went to Wicked again. Well, there's going to be a Wicked movie later this year.
Yes.
So I took my kids along. And there was initially,
I'm flying around. Isn't that the famous song?
I'm flying around.
Yeah.
Where's that wizard gonna fuck him up?
Right.
Yeah. And they do.
I'm just a witch. Don't call me a bitch.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I've seen it.
She kind of is.
Whoa. What?
She's a bit rude.
Whoa.
But it's also the way that people treat her, you know.
That's true.
Anyway, if you haven't seen it, you will later this year maybe because they're making a movie, which doesn't look great. But hey, whatever. But no, it could be all right. I don't agree with some of the casting is all I'm saying. Glinda specifically. But we'll see. I don't know. So it's
the movie version.
Yeah.
Who's in this version?
I don't know. Like
people
Australian
I know?
People. No, I don't know. No one I knew. Maybe some people that I knew. But okay. No, you're going to name some people and I'm going to say I don't know. But it's basically The Wizard of Oz, but it's told from the perspective of the Wicked Witch, who's actually maybe not so wicked and has maybe had some hard times.
I've had some hard times.
Yeah, it tells you more about like under the land of Oz and there's like political undertones in it.
I'm making excuses for my bad behavior. You know?
Yeah, a bit of that. Yeah.
Wow.
It's just great. It's really good and fun and my kids loved it. My son who was like, I don't want to see this. I'm not interested in this at all. Afterwards he goes.
But he says that before everything.
It's true. He genuinely does. And he was like, I loved that. And at half point, he was like, this is like TV. And I'm like, yeah, it's called theater.
We should show him the Blues Brothers.
Oh my God.
That's a musical.
That is a musical. You know? I might actually, yeah. Though he has seen theatre before, but yeah, both of them loved it. And I also thoroughly enjoyed it. It's just, also, I just love, and this is in the movies, especially like all of the movies, the wizard, he's just like, he sucks. Like he's a con man and he right, sucks. Yeah. And I just love, I think that's just really interesting.
But he's a victim of circumstance as well.
No, he's not.
Because he was James Franco.
Oh yeah, he was.
And that's not really his fault.
That sucks that he died though. Yeah, and we'll never know what he's really like.
That's right.
A bad guy probably.
He got set on fire on that alien planet.
I did see another movie, but I don't know if I can talk about it because it was a very, very early screening.
Oh.
People might know Michael Shanks, who I've done an interview with before. He's made a bunch of shorts. He did The Wizard of Oz.
Mm.
He invited me to just a screening of his movie. Like
this
is
part of the Melbourne International Film Festival.
No, this was just a thing where he's just like invited some people.
Oh.
Yeah. And I haven't asked him, but I would love, not to spoil, but I'd love to talk about it just to give my general opinion, but I'm just going to hold back on that until I get
it's permission. It's a shot-for-shot remake of Wicked.
Yeah.
Okay, right. That he's going to release a week before the...
That's right.
The official version. That's really interesting.
I think it's brave.
It is brave, isn't it?
And interesting.
Brave and beautiful.
All right. Should we move it along?
Let's move it along, the letters.
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm going to play the letters.
You're going to see Wicked? Have you seen Wicked the musical? You're going to see the movie?
I guess I'll see the movie.
Even for work?
Yeah, I'll see it for work.
Being a tram driver?
Yes. I'll talk about it with my workmates.
People had tram questions for me on Friday when I was
there. Yeah? Throw one at
me. What was it? It was things like, can you listen to anything while the tram drive? And I said, no.
Good. Yep,
can't hold your phone. Can't have an AirPod in.
No.
Where do you live? So obviously
where
told
do I
them
live?
That.
You told, yeah, told them where I live. Okay,
yeah,
great.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Anything. Yeah, all the things that they wanted to know. I was happy to
That's great.
Fill in the blanks.
Wow.
Yeah. Which you would have wanted, I think.
I think so. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Because then that's my favorite thing, because then I don't have to do it. I don't have to do anything. You know?
No.
And that's perfect for me.
There was a moment where I said at the end, and Nick Mason is here, and I pointed to the crowd, and some people turned around. I'm like, he's not really here. And people went, oh.
Yeah, nice.
Anyway.
So no one went, yay. He's not actually there. Yay. Here's the thing.
The classic one was letters.
Damn, if you want to reach the show, you can simply hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter or tweet directly at us. I meant to put a thread in the Great Mates group this week. I didn't.
Oh, yes.
Will that return?
How'd that go?
How did it go or didn't it go?
How did it go? It
went really well. As good as it probably could have gone for me not doing it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So how many comments did you get on that?
How many comments did I get on it?
Yeah.
I'm just counting them up now. Mm-hmm. We'll have to come back to this. Do you mind if we circle back?
Maybe later.
Next week when I finish counting. Yeah,
well, next week we'll hop on a call.
Yeah.
And we'll circle back to it.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you mind taking minutes?
I mean, if not, I'm not too busy hopping on a call.
All right, Mason. Also, you can send us a Gmail.
That's absolutely true.
weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. Mason, what do you got?
Here's an email from Ryan.
Ryan.
I had to watch The Crow and it's your fault.
No, it's not.
Hey, James and Mason, I've been a fan of the podcast for quite some time and it's encouraged me to go back to the movie theater regularly this year.
Thank you. That's a podcast we make.
That's right. I haven't done that since before the pandemic and it's been a great experience, even when the movies aren't really up my alley.
Yeah.
I do it mostly for self-therapy, but also to be informed before listening to the next episode of the podcast. That meant I had to watch The Crow.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, it's not great. However, I don't think it was the worst. I liked a lot of the elements in it, and I think it had the potential to be awesome, but damn, was an overall rough watch. So thanks for that. P.S. Ben and Lawrence, I appreciate it and love you too.
Wow, that's really kind of you to say.
And sorry we didn't watch The Crow.
We'll
watch it next week.
But we might not.
Unless, if something better comes up.
Yeah, we'll probably end up. There's a new Terminator thing coming out next
week. That's true, Terminator Zero, yeah.
But speaking of, at BigSandwich.co, we looked at 6 Terminator games, 3 based on the first Terminator, 3 based on Terminator 2 because we're covering them for Caravan of Garbage.
Right.
That's like a 44-minute video just powering through some absolute dreck.
And Fidel.
And Fidel also, of course, who had to do that also.
He had to suffer through the dreck but without the joy and fun of playing the games.
That's right. Oh, some of them aren't that fun. But all in all, I really enjoyed going back and looking at those. I tried to do a bit of variety and different platforms.
Terminator 1 on MS-DOS,
that's
for example.
Right, yeah, which... bad.
That's right.
But there's some good stuff in there. There are some good Terminator games, but not many in that video.
That's so true.
It was good to go back to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you could always see The Crow again if you're going back
to cinemas.
That's
true, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look. We can't save The Crow.
No.
It costs too much money and no one likes it and no one's seeing it. So, I mean, we're going to buy tickets. We're not getting free tickets.
Yeah.
We're buying 2 tickets.
Yep.
We can't save it. Unless each of our tickets costs us $70 million,
yeah,
I don't think we can save it.
No.
Yeah.
I'd have to have significantly more money than that to even want to attempt spending $70 million.
Yeah, I reckon even if I had like $71 million, yeah, I wouldn't spend $70 million.
To watch The Crow.
Yeah.
Now, do you know this, having not seen The New Crow, do you know whether it's a continuation of The Crow story, or is it like this is the first time there's been a crow?
I'm pretty sure it's like story-wise, it's a remake more or less of the first one. So it's Eric Draven again, probably. Or maybe now he's called Eric TikTok or whatever. You know?
Eric Eye Makeup.
That's right.
Yeah.
Eric Idol Makeup.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Life of Brian.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Doobster, who says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. The Have Doobster. You ever guys heard of the 1997 anime called Berserk? It was originally a manga considered one of the best of all time and is definitely worth a read. Watch, stay prayed up.
Only in the vaguest sense?
Yeah.
I've seen it mentioned on Twitter. It's still going, I think.
I know it, but yeah. I don't know it.
I also confuse it with Berserker, which is the Keanu Reeves comic book. Yeah.
And also, I get it. It's not the same, but like, remember The Max?
I remember The
Reminds
Max.
Reminds me of The Max. Yeah, it's not the same at all.
No.
But it's still going, though.
Mm.
Berserker. Yeah, there you go. Okay, no, I'm sorry, I haven't seen it. I am somebody who knows everything about anime.
Yeah.
No, it said the original series went from 97 to 98, but there's also a 2016 series, and I don't know, it's probably multiple, whatever.
Yeah, it's like Gundam. There's like a million Gundams.
Oh, what era of Gundam are they now? Yeah. What are you up to now, Gundam?
That's right.
Hand in your badge.
Hand in your big badge and your big gun, Gundam.
Hand in your big Gundam.
Gundam? There's a anime called Pat Labor, and it's like it's cops, but they've got big mech suits.
Oh, nice.
And so they have a big revolver. It's always sick. Fun whenever I see
the
mech pulls out a giant revolver. It's fun.
Hand in your big giant revolver.
Hand in your big giant revolver, Pat Labor. And then he has to go to his big apartment. Well, he sits on a giant couch.
Doesn't take the suit off?
No, he had to pay for it's like how you have to pay for your uniform on a lot of jobs. Oh, so then you get to keep it. He had to pay for the Pat Labor, so now he just sits around the house in it.
Makes sense to me.
He has to give the gun back.
Got
to
give it back.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you got now?
Here's an email from Ryan.
Ryan?
Hey, James and Meso. Last week I emailed in about seeing every movie in 2025.
We remember.
And you guys had some questions about it. So here's my plan for it. One, I have the Regal Pass, meaning I pay $20 a month and I can see any movie I'd like. So it's not going to cost an arm and a leg.
I love that for you.
We don't have that in Australia.
No, we don't.
It's annoying.
Yeah. I would... Oh, man.
Would you pay $20 a month for it?
Fuck yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Mm. I see so many. I could see two and that's enough.
Yeah.
And I definitely see at least two movies a month.
You could see one and it'll be in.
Absolutely. $20 for one movie.
It'd be still cheaper. I mean,
is it like certain times though? Because for us, it's often like it's time sensitive. Oh, we have to watch it the week it comes out.
I bet it's not the weekends.
Yeah.
You probably can't see stuff.
Fine.
Like yeah, it's fine.
Absolutely fine.
Two, I plan on seeing any movie in theatres and streaming, but if there's a limited engagement for a movie and it's only showing during times I'm at work, I have to wait and see it whenever it's on streaming.
Fair enough.
Number three, James asked what I do for work. I'm a forklift driver and work at a comic book store.
Oh, wow.
I like to think simultaneously.
Me too.
Pat Labor style. He's just driving around the aisles.
In a mech suit?
In a big forklift. And he's just...
He's in a mech suit and he's in the forklift.
In the forklift, exactly. Yeah. That's right. Then there's a follow-up email. After looking at the list for movies for streaming next year, the new plan is to see every movie that's released in theatres with a few streaming movies sprinkled in. That's fair. Because there's an insane number of streaming movies.
Absolutely.
There's too many.
Yeah.
You know?
That's an I appreciate the follow-up.
Yeah, me too.
Mm.
Me too.
We don't often do a lot of follow-up emails, do we?
No, because we forget.
We forget.
No.
But this one we remember.
Yeah, that's right.
But no more. That's your last email. You've had enough.
Wow.
Pat Labor, whatever your name is.
His name was Pat Labor.
Yeah. No, good luck and God bless you. That's something that's going to cost you. I mean, if the tickets alone, what is it? How many months are there in the year? How many days are there in a week?
Seven. 16,
yeah, so if there's 12 months per month and every day you get a ticket, what is that? How many does that cost him?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right, next one, Mason. This is some Sunshine in the Funshine who says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod, now that we're well past the halfway point of the year, are there any movies or TV shows left in 2024 that you are genuinely excited about? Squid Game 2, Agatha All Along, Joker 2 Electric Boogaloo. Yeah. Let me get my list up here. I am looking forward to Hellboy, the next one.
Mm-hmm, same.
We've been recording the Hellboy movies, and that's been a fun rewatch.
We haven't been re-recording themselves.
No.
Rewind style.
Terminator Zero, I'm interested in. Beetlejuice 2, I need to watch the original Beetlejuice because I've never seen it. Transformers 1, I am looking forward to because my son is like a massive fan.
Of course, that would be
cool to see. I'm curious about Joker. But I'm not heavily invested in it.
Mm.
Gladiator 2, I'm really interested in. Even if it's a fucking disaster,
uh-huh.
because why not?
Mm.
Wicked as mentioned.
And a little preview, you want to cover the movie for Cameron and Garbage, you want to cover the movie Virtuosity. That's correct.
I want to do
because,
a movie commentary on
because
it.
Russell Crowe and yes. Denzel.
Now, aren't we doing the Rusty Crowe history trilogy? And that's not in history, that's the future.
That's so true, isn't it?
I mean, I guess we could do the Rusty Crowe and Denzel Washington movies. So there's
that American gangster. Yeah.
And that's it. And there's probably a flashback in Gladiator too.
That's right.
Yeah.
When they meet and shake hands.
Yeah. Wicked I am interested in seeing. Venom 3, eh. Craven, is that even this year? It's in December. Oh, yeah, it is. Craven's out in December or something. Craysember. Waving for Craven. Mufasa, no. Oh, Nosferatu's out before the end of the year. It could be interesting. The Robert Eggers one.
Oh yeah, no, I'm thrilled for that one actually.
So there's some
big,
stuff.
Big Eggers fan. I'm a real Eggerhead.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Or a Robert head.
Yeah, because you're a rotten egg of a bloke.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm a stinky little rotten egg. And I stand by that.
That's great, Mason.
Yeah.
What's your last email?
Here's one last email, James.
About time.
Actually, I got two more emails.
Oh, about time.
This is from John.
John?
Hey, guys, love the podcast. I'm super late to the party, but I was watching Mr. In Between, and that's a brilliant show.
Love it.
I haven't seen it, but I got to get
to it.
Great.
You should watch it.
The show's based in Australia. We know.
It's only based in Australia. It is Australian. It's not that's just right. based in Australia, man.
Never been, but the guy's eating something called Dimmies, and it looked delicious.
I don't like them, but a lot of people do.
Have no idea what it was, but it looks super delicious. A Dimmy.
It's kind of like a dumpling, but
yeah,
worse.
So it's called it's
a dim sim.
A dimmy's a dim sim, and it's like basically like a cartoon version of like dim sum.
Yes,
really. So it's like a yeah, you can boil them or you can deep fry them.
Yeah,
it's like
they're a mystery meat package.
They're a mystery meat.
I don't
vegetables
like the skin that they're in.
Yeah,
they're probably better deep fried, but even then, I don't. I would eat a dumpling any day of the week over.
I hate dim sims.
Yeah,
I hate them.
I don't like them either. I'm with you, but. A bit of soy sauce, people. You get them from like a
fish and chip shop
or whatever.
Yeah. I would rather anything from a chip. I would rather a crab stick.
Are they even like, I know those versions aren't. They're not like distinctly Asian. Those versions aren't.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But yeah.
They're sort of from that era where like in Australia, I don't know about anywhere else, but in Australia where people would have like, they'd make Asian food at home where it was just like pasta noodles with Asian sauce on it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just a mystery sauce.
Just a Worcestershire maybe.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, and put some peas in and...
Yeah. Anyway, was wondering if they were as good as the show made them look.
No.
And if you guys ever watched a show or movie where they ate something and you wanted to eat it as well.
Yes.
Certainly. There's people almost certainly know this, but there's a YouTube channel called Binging with Babish.
Yeah.
Where Andrew Ray is his name and he makes all the dishes from movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
That's all, I mean, you know, watching that is certainly easier than making all the food involved.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I'll, you know, Chef is a great example.
Chef's a good example, Chef. Yeah.
I've mentioned this before. There's a Stanley Tucci movie called Big Night.
Oh, I need to watch this.
It's
Mason.
Good. I've got it on DVD. I'll bring it up.
Well, I haven't watched the last round or whatever that you gave me.
Oh, another round. Matt Mickelson. But yeah. Basically, it's two guys. They run a restaurant in the 50s. They're Italian immigrants, and basically, they've got to set up for a big night because they think there's a celebrity coming to their restaurant.
Oh yeah.
But they make a dish called the timpano.
Yeah.
Which I think it's called the timpano, but it's this, maybe look it up real quick, James.
Timpano.
Imagine a drum. It's like a pie that's like the size and the shape of like a drum.
Oh, wow.
And it's filled with like meat and lasagna and like
sausages and pasta.
And it's like you cut it open. It's like a, you get an enormous slice of pie.
It looks like a wheel of fucking cheese.
Yeah, it looks like a wheel of cheese, but it's like you basically cut it open and it's like every slice is like an Italian smorgasbord. It's like a real dish, but it's like.
You cut this open, it looks like fucking tryptophobia.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
awful. You want this?
Yeah. You got to see it live, man.
I hate this.
I would, but I mean, that's the thing. That's like a great lost dish because that would take 24 hours to make.
And how would you even like.
Yeah, and it's like you can't just go to a restaurant and go, can I have a timpano, please? Because it's like a 20-person dish.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. Yeah.
Anyway, I want one of those.
You want one of those?
If anybody would like to deliver one to my house.
Please, that would be incredible. I'm trying to think if there's any specific foods. I mean, you know, there's like, I'll go down a rabbit hole of like just watching just the anime, like cutting and preparing
the
food
Ghibli.
Or whatever, like that
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. So anything like that, I guess, yeah. But other than that, no. I'm not swayed by movies. I keep my own opinion.
That's right.
Yeah.
You only eat those weird pancakes you like.
I've stopped eating those, Mason.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, hang on. I'll put my glasses on. Say that again.
Say what again?
You've stopped eating those.
I'm eating pancakes.
What? What?
You reminded me. I should make those pancakes again.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm normally just doing a smoothie. I'm hammering out a smoothie, mate.
Sure, absolutely.
Do you want to know what's in my smoothie? Here we go. About a cup of skim milk.
Okay.
Vanilla protein powder. Vanilla ice cream protein powder.
Uh-huh.
I'll try a bit of creatine at the moment just to see what's going on. You know what I mean? See if it makes a difference. Who knows? I put in a couple of ice cubes, a frozen banana. Make sure you froze it the night before.
Froze it the night before. Gotcha.
Two tablespoons of oats and about a tablespoon of crunchy peanut butter. Blend that in a smoothie. It's pretty solid, man. But it's very much dependent on your protein powder of choice.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. I was looking at pictures of Timpano.
And?
Oh, delicious.
You love this Timpano fellow.
Yeah. Yummo, James.
When you see Timpano next, can you tell him that I don't like him?
Okay, I will. Yeah. Anyway, here's one more email, James.
I love emails.
And you're excited for it.
Yep.
This is from Team Satoff.
Hello, Team Satoff.
I don't know if that's a real name or not. Who says, what's it like in the distant future of 2024? Hey, James and Mason, been a listener since way back, first time writing in. 1 year ago today, I ditched my aspirations of being a biology instructor and made the jump to student financial aid.
Oh, my God.
On that day, I decided to start the pod from episode one. It's been my only audio entertainment on commutes for the whole year.
Whoa.
I've made it to episode 176 and have vowed to continue listening in order, which means I'm missing out on all the new current comic book movie news shooting up my butthole and have no idea how 2023/2024 cinema has been. What's it like in the future? Are we still Westworlding today?
No.
Wow. It's my hope that maybe Mason is still checking the Gmail and this finds you, and maybe I could get a shout out that I'll get to in another year or so when I catch up, and that maybe I could be the official student financial aid advisor of the podcast if it's still available.
You got it, man.
Either way, keep up the great job, dudes. Well, thank you.
What do you think? What do you think it's like this year?
2023, 2024?
Yeah.
There's been some real highlights.
I agree.
There's been some good stuff.
Yes.
There's only been a couple of disasters of The Flash.
Do you think most people
Thor
like...
Thor 4. When did that come out? Was that 2023 or was it like 2021?
Last year, I want
to
say.
Okay.
I think most people don't see all the bad movies.
Mm.
And we don't even see all the bad movies.
Oh, that's
movies,
very true,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, you know... Yeah.
I think generally it's been very good.
Mm. I think so. We didn't mind Alien Romulus.
We didn't mind Alien Romulus.
I said this to the people on Friday, I was probably a little too harsh on Deadpool of Wolverine because at least the people who made it seemed to like what they were doing.
Yeah.
Twisters was fine. Borderlands was fucking dreadful.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't mind A Quiet Place, Inside Out. Yep.
Oh, we didn't even mention that. That's I don't know if you saw any of Gamescom. I think it was the Game Developers Conference or whatever. They announced Borderlands 4.
Oh, yeah. Good on
them. And just two silence.
Yeah. Oh, just, Dune 2 was this year.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Ghostbusters was this year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
God, was it? And King Kong. There's a King Kong.
Killers of the Flower Moon was 2023. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah, that was good. Furiosa, I enjoyed that.
That's a good one.
You liked The Acolyte?
Yeah, I loved it.
You liked Ahsoka?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, good. It's good. It's all right. There's always good stuff. Sometimes you just got to dig a little deeper. Sometimes it's not necessarily the mainstream stuff. There's always some good stuff, though.
That's
right. Yeah, if you know where to look.
Not us, though. We're only covering the mainstream stuff.
That's right, idiots. Speaking of Mason,
yes.
Do you want to wrap up the show and I read some beautiful reviews that people have sent?
Like an idiot, I'll do that.
Yeah,
folks, thank you so much for listening. We absolutely do appreciate it. Even if you've started from episode one and you're catching up slowly, we'll get to you. We know you.
We're so young in those episodes.
Oh my god!
And now we're
so
even younger.
That's so true.
Yeah,
folks, thank you for telling your friends about the podcast because that is how we get new listeners. And thank you for leaving a 5-star review on whatever podcast catcher you're using. You can usually do it in app, and if you do so, James will read it out.
That's right. This one's from a shrugging emoji, which says, why not ads? It says, Strong Bones Podcast. In February, I broke my collarbone where my work van was struck head on by a truck while stopped at a stop sign.
After months Side note, did your brother once flip a truck? Like flip a van? Did that happen at
He didn't. Interesting. Which brother?
The one I do like.
No.
Before he was a firefighter?
I don't think so.
Interesting. I seem to remember him flipping a van once.
No, he's been in accidents. Okay. Especially as a firefighter, you would have experienced this. People just hit the fucking vehicle.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But no, I'm pretty sure he hasn't flipped a van.
I just wished it would happen.
Once we were driving in the wet and he goes, hey, watch this. And he pulled the handbrake and did a handbrake turn in the middle of the fucking road.
Nice.
He was like 18 though.
Yeah.
Not saying that's okay. It wasn't. He shouldn't have done that.
All right.
It's irresponsible and he should go to jail. After months of recovery and rehab, I made a full recovery and caught up on the Weekly Planet episodes. The doctor was impressed by the quality of my recovery.
And the quality of our podcast.
That's right, yeah. And I told him the secret was Red Hot Comic Book Movie News shooting up my butthole. He referred to me for a psych evaluation. 5 stars. And this one's Amphetamantium. He says, super duper. Really great podcast if you can get past the weird accents.
I can't. I've never been able to do that.
No.
You ever gotten used to your own voice?
No, I don't like it.
But you've told me before that you...
My voice is the same now.
Yeah, because people's voice that they hear in their head is different to it.
Not mine.
Yours is the same.
Mine's the same.
Because you've listened to so much, so many recordings of your own voice.
Yep, and editing your own voice. And yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which I guess isn't... It's not dreadful in the sense that, like, I'm not surprised. I'm not like, oh, fuck, is that what I sound like anymore? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what I sound
like.
That's
right. Folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group, as well as the Planet Broadcasting Weekly Planet Podcast subreddit and Discord for fun civil chats about podcasts and pop culture. Thank you to Fidel and Maisie and Sarabi for moderating over
what
at those
a great
forums.
Job.
They're keeping them clean and keeping them mean.
Got to keep them clean and mean.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
If you want to follow some people on the socials, you follow those guys.
Yeah, man.
They also do TikToks and clips channels and all sorts of stuff. But first, you want to follow our friend Rob Collings. He's at Rob Collings. He edits this podcast.
Not this week. Not this week, Mason.
Most podcasts. And he'll keep you up to date on all things The Weekly Planet over at Raw Collings and The Weekly Planet. You can follow me at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter and Nick Maso on Instagram. James is Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere. If you want to support the show, you go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. That's right, patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. To chuck in the buck. Or you can go to BigSandwich.co, sign up for $9 per month, bonus podcast, movie commentaries,
ooh,
early videos,
that's
video
right.
game let's plays, all sorts of stuff. It's crazy over there.
It is crazy over there.
Freaking crazy over there.
You can have a good time, though.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Thank you to The Boot and The Basilisk and
The Boot.
The Boot.
Yeah.
For all our musical themes. And if you go to tpublic.com, you can find a t-shirt, a Weekly Planet t-shirt. You buy a Weekly Planet t-shirt.
Save
up those dollars if you're going to be going to a live show in the UK. You can buy this brand new t-shirt.
That's right. Check it out. I think I get money from that one, actually.
Nice.
I don't know if I get money from the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What they're going to do is they're going to pour all the money into a circle, and you and Dusha and Jackson are going to have to fight over it.
That's awesome. Yeah. I can't wait.
That's right. Yeah. That's the whole show. Next week. The Crow, probably.
The Crow,
Terminator
probably.
Zero, probably.
Yep.
Or a different thing. Maybe a better movie will come out.
Maybe you'll watch all of those things and we'll abandon it for something else.
That's right. As a joke on you specifically.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.